Well, amen. Sure is good to be here, Youth Ablaze. Good to see a lot of friends that I only see about once or twice a year. And I sure do. It's amazing how when you're serving God and busy in your place where God has placed you, there's certain people you see once or twice a year and you consider them your closest friends. Amen. And I sure do appreciate the spirit of this meeting. And I appreciate Pastor Roscoe and him having this. I was asked on the way in the door when the first time our church ever came to this meeting, and it was actually before I became pastor there. I've been pastor 8 years this May, and they came in the year 2000, and I believe they missed a couple of years, but we've been coming ever since, and I sure do appreciate a meeting like this in February in the Western New York area that we can bring our teens to and get some good preaching. I always say this, when people volunteer to be a chaperone, they get the gleanings of the preaching and they get to enjoy to hear from the men of God that Pastor Roscoe brings in, and I sure do appreciate him. Amen. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Ruth chapter 2. I'm going to go 15 minutes and then get out of the way, and I'm looking forward to the preaching this year. I'd seen some familiar faces in the front row, and I'm looking forward, as I do every year, to the good preaching. Ruth chapter 2, and when you get there, would you please stand? We're going to read one verse, and let's stand as we read the Word of God. Ruth chapter number 2. Boy, when I found out the theme of this year's Youth Ablaze, I was reading in my Bible, and this verse just jumped off the page at me, and I want to be a blessing tonight, and then go sit down. Amen. Ruth chapter 2, we're going to read one verse. Draw your eyes, if you would, down the page to verse number 10. Verse number 10, the Bible says, "Then she," speaking of Ruth, "fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him," Boaz, "why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger?" I want to talk about this thought for the next 15 minutes. Grace while gleaning in the field. Grace while gleaning in the field. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer and ask the Lord to bless our time together. Father in heaven, we're sure thankful for this meeting and we're thankful for the grace of God tonight. Lord, thank you so much for being merciful and gracious to a bunch of sinners, Lord, that didn't deserve it. Lord, I'm thankful tonight that for by grace are you saved through faith. And it's not of ourselves, Lord. Thank you that we can trust in the living God, the Lord Jesus Christ, for our salvation. But God, I pray that we would not abuse grace. Lord, I pray that we would not take grace for granted. Lord, we'd realize that it's a gift and it's precious. And dear God, it's not to be thrown away or taken for granted. Lord, please help me tonight. I pray that I would decrease and you would increase. And Lord, that most of all, that Jesus Christ would have the preeminence in all that we say or do tonight. In Jesus' name, we ask it. Amen. You can be seated. Grace while gleaning in the field. You know, placed right between the books of Judges and 1 Samuel, we see a short book called the Book of Ruth, four glorious chapters. It says in verse number 1 of Ruth chapter 1, it took place during a time when the judges ruled. And if you know anything about that time, the end of that time period or that era, there was a characteristic of that day. It said that every man did that which was right in his own eyes. But here we see a story about a woman who, if you will, trusted God and followed the Lord's will. Just to give a little history of this book, most of you know it. We have some people, Elimelech and Naomi, have left the, if you will, Bethlehem, and they've gone and sojourned in the country of Moab during a famine. They took their sons and with them, and their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, took wives of Moab. While they were there, Elimelech died. The two sons died. And Naomi is left with her daughter-in-laws, and she gives them a choice. She says to her two daughter-in-laws that you can go now, go back to your own people and your own gods. And one of the daughter-in-laws returns back, but Ruth decides to follow the God of Naomi. She says, "Whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God shall be my God." She, if you will, turned to God from idols to trust in the living God. Thank the Lord that she had faith to trust God. In fact, if you want a quick outline of the book of Ruth, we see in chapter number 1, her faith to trust God. We see in chapter number 2, her working in the field of Boaz. Hey, chapter number 3, she goes from the field of Boaz to the feet of Boaz. And then in chapter number 4, she finds herself as part of the family of Boaz. And what a great, great truth we have here in the Old Testament regarding the grace of God. I'm thankful today that we have a grace of God that bringeth salvation to all. And it's appeared unto all men. But let me just give you 4 things about this grace that we see. First of all, in Ruth chapter 2, we find the greeting of Boaz. The greeting of Boaz. In verses 4 and 5, it says this, "And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, The Lord be with you. And they answered him, The Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers." And I want you to catch this statement. Whose damsel is this? You know, I started thinking about this. When we're laboring in the field where God has placed us, God takes notice. He takes notice of what we're doing. He looks down from heaven and he sees us working, if you will, in the field. And he's taking notice of Ruth. Ruth was doing what was right. Ruth was doing what she was supposed to be doing. And sometimes it feels like you might be laboring alone. Sometimes it feels like you're just out there trying to get something done for God. But can I encourage you tonight? The grace of God is sufficient. He keeps his eyes on us. 1 Chronicles 16:9 says, "The eyes of the Lord go through all the earth." It says he's looking for those whose heart is perfect toward him. I'm glad God takes notice. Job 34 says, "For his eyes are upon the ways of man, and he seeth all his goings." Many times you get discouraged and wonder if God sees what the battles you're facing. But you know, Matthew tells us that we're not to fear because we're more valued than sparrows. And I say very carefully, Boaz took notice of Ruth working in the field. Not only do we see the greeting of Boaz, but we see the goodness of Boaz. The goodness of Boaz. It says in verse 8 of this same chapter, it says, "Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field. Neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have not I charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn." Not only do we see Boaz taking notice of Ruth, just like God takes notice of what we're doing. Hey, young person, let me just say this. When you take a stand for something and you're getting mocked and ridiculed by all your friends, mark it down. God takes notice of that. Amen. You may have to stand alone during different times in your life, but mark it down. God is taking notice. Amen. But now we see the goodness of Boaz. We see Boaz telling Ruth to stay in the field and that he will provide and protect her while she's working there. Hey, God will protect his own while we're working in the field. At times it may not seem like it, but God has promised. The Bible says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Amen. The Bible says the Lord is good, a stronghold in a day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. And I say very carefully, we can count on the goodness of God. He takes care of us. He provides for us. And he protects us while we're under that umbrella called God's will. You know, I've realized one thing. That if I'm willing to stay serving in the field where he placed me, following his will and doing what I know to be right, God has promised to place me under an umbrella of protection. You say, "Well, I thought it said God never leaves you or forsakes you." He doesn't when it comes to salvation. But you know, once in a while when we get foolish, we walk out from under that umbrella. If we're not careful, we'll abuse God's grace. Not even realize it. You remember that back in the book of Judges? When Samson got up and he wist not that the Spirit of God had departed from him. He was going out to fight the same battle in the flesh. He was going out to fight the same battle, but there was one thing missing. The Spirit of God was not upon him because he decided to walk out from God's protective hand. The goodness of Boaz. Number 3, not only do we see the greeting of Boaz, the goodness of Boaz, but praise the Lord, we see the grace of Boaz. Grace, I've read the chat verse already, but let's look at it again. She fell on her face, bowed herself to the ground, and said, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes Did you ever just sit back and think, what in the world is God blessing me for? Did you ever just sit back and think, what in the world am I doing in the ministry? Let alone that He'd save me. How in the world did I get to this point in my life? Hey, if it was up to me, I'd be dead and in hell today. But by the grace of God, you know, Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Boy, we better not start thinking too highly of ourselves than we ought to think. It's by the grace of God that you're doing what you're doing, and it's by the grace of God that you're even here tonight, breathing God's air, enjoying the fellowship, listening to the preaching, and enjoying what's being said. Some of you are enjoying it, amen? You know, the amazing thing about this is Boaz was showing kindness to a stranger. The Bible tells us in Deuteronomy 23 that Ammonite or Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Even to their 10th generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord. The Moabites were the descendants of Lot, and God said they're not to enter into the congregation. And here we see Boaz showing grace and unmerited favor to a stranger. Makes me think back to the grace He showed me when I was a stranger and an enemy of God. Thank God for His wonderful grace. Not only do we see His greeting, His goodness and His grace, but number four, we see His gifts. I want you to look real quick at one verse. I'm almost done. The Bible says in verse number six, He says, and let fall some of the handfuls on purpose. You know, I'm amazed. Not only does God's grace save us, not only is He good to us, not only does He protect us and provide for us, but every so often when we're serving in the field, when we're wondering if God's in this thing, when we're wondering if we're in His will, He drops by our house and drops a few handfuls on purpose. And I'll tell you what, you get to shouting and you get to shouting the victory. It helps you through the trials and the battles of life. I enjoy those little handfuls on purpose once in a while. Yeah, there's trials. Yeah, there's tribulation. Yeah, there's trouble. But bless God, He comes by and just says, throw a few handfuls on purpose just to let them know I'm still taking care of them. I'm thankful tonight. You know, I've realized this. God is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that I ask or think. It may not come in my time frame, but it comes just when I need it. It comes just when I'm laboring and working in the field and laboring trying to glean some things from the Lord, laboring doing the work of God, laboring trying to please Him, laboring trying to serve, laboring trying to be a blessing, laboring trying to be a soul winner, laboring trying to be a preacher, laboring trying to do things for God. And once in a while, He just says, here you go. You know, if you study in the next chapter, when Ruth was laying at His feet, when she was about to leave, Boaz said, hey, I want you to, and I'll paraphrase in modern language, I want you to untuck your shirt and hold it out like this. I'm going to fill it. And Boaz just put about six sacks of stuff in there and said, bring this home to Naomi for your mother-in-law. I'll tell you what, God is able to take care of us. How come you always try to take care of your own problems in your own way and your own strength and trying to figure things out on your own? Why don't you just trust God? As we're gleaning in the field, you know, my Bible tells me, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. This is a familiar illustration, but I can't help think of it tonight, and I'm almost done. There was a little boy and his buddy. They went into a candy store. Little boy and his buddy walked up to the desk, and the owner of the store knew. And by the way, this is back when it was a penny candy store. You can't even find penny candy anymore. I don't even think gumballs are a penny anymore. But he walked into the store, and the owner of the store knew this boy didn't have much. And boy, he was standing there, and he's looking at all that candy, and the owner of the store came out with this big bin of mixed candy. And he said, boy, he says, reach your hand in and grab some. And the boy said, no, sir, I can't do that. He says, no, this is my store. I own it. Just reach in and grab some. He said, no, sir, I couldn't do that. I wouldn't feel right. Well, finally, the owner of the store wasn't taking no for an answer, and he reached in, and the little boy took his shirt out. He untucked it and held out like this, and he opened up his hand, and all this candy fell in his shirt, and he said, thank you, sir. And he walked out the door, and his buddy was puzzled. He looked at his little friend, and he said, what in the world? Why didn't you take a handful of candy? And he said, well, that owner has bigger hands than me. I tell you what, boy, God has bigger hands than we believe God, He can supply all our need. He can take care of every problem. He knows exactly what to do. The gifts of Boaz. How about you? Are you in the field? Are you serving? There's a greeting there. God takes notice. There's, if you will, goodness there. He protects and provides for us. There's His grace, which is sufficient for every need. And then there's His gifts. And I say very carefully, though, you're not even in the field if you've never experienced the gift of salvation. If you're not saved tonight, boy, it'd be a shame for you to leave a meeting like this and never experience God's saving grace. If you cannot look back to a day, I didn't ask you when you joined the Baptist church. I didn't ask you when you started coming to church. I'm asking you tonight, can you look back to a specific time and place when you repented of your sin and asked Jesus to be your Savior? If you can, you've experienced God's grace tonight. But if you can't look back, you're not even in the field. Hey, let me encourage you tonight. There's grace while gleaning in the field. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer, preacher.